Paul here with today's tip to help you pass ACLS. In atrial fibrillation and atrial flutter, the stimulation for atrial contraction is above the ventricles, but isn't the primary pacemaker of the heart, the SA node. Today, we're reviewing two common atrial ECG rhythms, atrial fibrillation and atrial flutter, as our pass ACLS tip topic. Listening to a tip daily for a few weeks before your class will help to cement the key concepts needed for you to pass your ACLS written exam and megacode. Push the plus, follow, or subscribe button in your listening app, or activate the Pass ACLS flash briefing skill on your Amazon voice device so you don't miss upcoming tips. You can find additional ACLS-related resources at passacls.com. In atrial fibrillation, there are multiple areas of the atria producing electrical stimulus, resulting in chaotic activity. On the ECG, we'll see a rhythm that is irregularly irregular, has a chaotic isoelectric line with no distinct P waves, and generally a narrow QRS complex. In atrial flutter, the external electrical stimulus starts in the atria away from the SA node, but travels in an atrial circuit. Because these impulses follow a regular pathway, the P waves have a consistent morphology that is sometimes referred to as a sawtooth pattern. The rhythm is regular compared to AFib. In both cases, the rapid electrical impulses can make it to the AV node and result in rapid ventricular response, or RVR. Many of these patients will complain of palpitations and can suffer orthostatic hypotension from even minor or gradual positional changes. Patients with a heart rate over 150 may require immediate intervention if they have a sudden decrease in consciousness, hypotension identified as a systolic blood pressure less than 90, signs of shock, such as ashy skin or delayed capillary refill, acute CHF, or if accompanied by ischemic chest pain. Patients with any of these signs or symptoms are unstable and should be cardioverted with a synchronized shock. When using a biphasic defibrillator to deliver a synchronized shock, we'll use the manufacturer's suggested setting. Lower energy settings of 50 to 100 joules for monophasic defibrillators is generally sufficient to convert a narrow complex rhythm. Remember, when cardioverting a patient with a pulse, we need to push the sync button on the defibrillator so the shock isn't delivered on a T wave. Most monitors will place an icon adjacent to the QRS complex when the defibrillator is in the sync mode. When using the sync mode, it can take a few seconds for the defibrillator to discharge after pushing the button. So don't let anybody touch the patient until after you're 100% positive the shock was delivered. AEDs can't differentiate between patients with or without a pulse and aren't designed to deliver a synchronized shock, so they should only be applied to patients without a pulse. At rates over 150, it's often difficult to tell AFib or flutter with RVR from an SVT of sinus origin. For a stable patient, we'll attempt to slow the heart with vagal maneuvers after we've ensured adequate oxygenation, obtained a 12 lead, and started an IV. I cover specific vagal maneuvers in another Pass ACLS Tip of the Day episode. A common cause of tachycardia is hypovolemia or dehydration. Once the IV is started, we can give a 250 to 500 milliliter bolus if the patient doesn't have anasarca, a history of kidney failure or CHF, and breath sounds are clear. If vagal maneuvers were unsuccessful, we'll consider administration of 6 milligrams of adenosine rapid IV push, immediately followed by a 20 milliliter flush. Remember that adenosine is not effective for the treatment of AFib or flutter, but it does temporarily slow the heart, allowing us to identify the underlying rhythm. If we see AFib or flutter after administering adenosine to a stable tachycardic patient with a heart rate over 150, we may consider skipping the second dose of adenosine and switching to a different therapy such as a calcium channel blocker or beta blocker, which are more effective in the treatment of atrial rhythms with RVR. If you'd like additional information on the pathophysiology and treatment of narrow complex tachycardias, check out the pod resource page at passacls.com. I've shared links to other medical podcasts that cover ACLS-related topics. Some of them even award CE for passing a short quiz after listening. If you found today's tip on atrial fib and flutter helpful, consider giving back via the secure PayPal link in the episode notes or clicking the donate button at passacls.com. Training centers or providers of ACLS-related products or services that would like to reach ACLS-certified medical professionals should contact me. I'm happy to share links on passacls.com, tweets and posts containing helpful information for ACLS providers on Twitter or LinkedIn, or discuss other partnership opportunities. I'm here to help you pass ACLS. Thanks for listening, and good luck with your class.